Welcome to the Alaska World Affairs Council Presents on KSKA Anchorage. I'm Kristen Speck. The Alaska World Affairs Council brings the world to Alaska. World leaders, journalists, authors, educators, and entrepreneurs join Alaskans in a conversation about world affairs. This week, Dr. Mark Massoud speaks on globalization, what it is and what it isn't. Born in Egypt, Dr. Mark Massoud arrived in the United States at the age of 27. He earned his MBA and PhD in accounting from the Graduate School of Business at New York University. Today, he is the Robert A. Day Distinguished Professor of Accounting at Claremont McKenna College in Claremont, California. Prior to joining the faculty at Claremont McKenna, Dr. Massoud was a professor and chairman of the Department of Accounting at California State Polytechnic University, Pomona, and at Shippensburg State University in Pennsylvania. Dr. Mark Massoud is the associate editor of Advances in Accounting and the author of the chapter on Impairment of Asset Values in the Blackwell Encyclopedia of Management. The day after his arrival in Alaska, Dr. Massoud visited Bartlett High School in Anchorage, where students asked questions and shared their thoughts on the impacts of globalization. Hours later, he spoke on globalization, what it is and what it isn't, at the Alaska World Affairs Council in Anchorage, Alaska, on September 12, 2008. In partnership with the Alaska World Affairs Council, KSKA presents Dr. Mark Massoud.
It is great to be here, and I really thank Leslie for asking me to come to Alaska. This is my second time to be in Alaska. I will promise you I will come back for a vacation, because my first time was a conference, so I did not see Alaska. This time is to see you, and I'm leaving tomorrow to Juneau. I will not be able to see Anchorage, so I promise I'll come back. But, you know, I'm really fascinated that my luck brought me in a time when everybody in the nation knows something about Alaska. Now, you get up in the morning now, and everything was about Alaska. I was telling Rod that, you know, at least now the American people know what's the capital of Alaska, what's the population of Alaska. So we thank you so much, Governor Bailyn, for doing that. And I told the students in the morning, and I shared my feeling with you, we are winner either way. America came a long way, because whoever would be occupying the White House would be something first. If Governor Bailyn and Senator McCain win, this would be the first woman to be at that level. And if Senator Obama win, would be the first African-American. So we are winner either way. And this is, you know, really a good recognition for our country and for the way we get together. Had I said that in relation to my subject, what I want you to understand that we were able to come from different nations, I'm one example here, and be able to melt in this country and become a very important one nation, great nation. And it's not that easy, even for some of us here, because the identity issue for some of us is still a very important issue. So on that basis, when you talk about globalization, this is the reason you will find some people are very supportive of globalization and some people are against it. We have people call themselves anti-globalization groups. We have new groups coming now. They call themselves de-globalization. It's a very interesting issue, because, in fact, if I ask you around a different table, what do you mean by globalization? Many of you will come with different meaning. In order to challenge the students in the morning, I thought of them, and I came with the example. I said, when I was waiting for Lisa to take me to the high school, I find many people from Asia. So I talked to one of them. I said, which country are you from? And said, Japan. And I said, that's an example of globalization. So we are in Alaska, is a great state and very good tourist place, attract people from all over the world. And maybe for that reason, globalization is good. So I told them, people think globalization have a great advantage, that all of us can travel different places and we can see the world. So that's globalization. I told them that maybe I need to buy some T-shirts for my grandchildren, have the moose on them, because that was a requirement. And maybe when I go to some of the gift shop, I will find it made in China. Again, and that is expected, and many other gifts will be made in China. And the idea, maybe because China will have a cheap labor, so they try to encourage importing those sweatshirts from China so they can sell it to me as a tourist at a lower price. But that is globalization. So on that basis, maybe I told them you'd be sitting home enjoying a drink and watching the TV, and it's a French movie. That's globalization. So on that basis, I think what I'd like to try to do with you today is I'm not a globalization guy or anti-globalization guy. I have to share with you what I think is the benefit, the rewards of globalization, what's going on in the plus side, but we should not lose sight from what are the negatives that attached to the globalization. And the students was very excited from the morning to see how this come. And I said, you remember that example about the sweatshirt and made in China? How about if you have a relative of yours, cousin or friend, and you talk to them in North Carolina, and you felt from the tone of their voice that they are really a little bit depressed. I said, what's going on? Tell us what's going on. And he said, well, I work for a factory. It's a textile factory, and they have to shut up their doors because it's competition from China. So definitely that's what makes you unhappy. So on that basis, when we're going to discuss about globalization today, I like to share with you what I call it a concern. You know, so on that basis, my feeling, is something great. We see some advantage, but it's nothing is good for everybody. That's just a propaganda. You will not find, think of anything, there nothing will be free and it's good for everybody. So that is the reason I picked that topic. When you talk about globalization, in my mind, I can take the whole day talking to you because it touches our life in every way. The example I just shared with you, that's just to have fun. So I like to tell you a story, interesting to laugh, and you know, after that lovely meal, and think what about. So in a British newspaper, wanted to get the reader excited and get involved. So they put an ad in one of the issues and said, we'd like you to answer something similar to the raffle ticket. We'd like you to answer this question for a gift. What it means to be British? Then, you know, they got so many answers, and here was the winner. So I said, to be British is to drive a German car, to go to an Irish pub, have a Belgian beer, and then your way home, you stop by Indian restaurant to have an Indian curry, or you may get to a Turkish kebab. You go home, sit down in a furniture made in Sweden, watching an American movie on a Japanese TV. What do you think of that? So, you know, so that is globalization, you know, I think in one sense, and it's a good answer, and I think he deserves or she deserves the award. So based on that story, I think if we talk about globalization, it touches definitely economic issue. And I think all of us in this room, because of our background interest, maybe that would be the most important subject. But definitely also, as I said in the morning, for you guys in Alaska, the political issue is very, not because of Governor Palin only, but because the energy. The energy is a very important issue right now. And I think this is, when we talk about globalization, is a must-hot topic that we have to deal with it. Because as you know, what's happening in Georgia right now is irritating some people. And Russia is a major exporter of oil. And if you look at the South, our relationship with Venezuela is not that hot. Venezuela is a major exporter of oil. If you go to the Middle East, our relation with our friend in Iran is not that hot. And this is a major exporter of oil. So on that basis, it touched politics. So the political policy, and you will laugh, but it's true. I watched the two conventions, and it seems to me we're talking about two different nations. It's not the same nation. So politics is very interesting because the people have a different perspective. They talk about the same issue, but their explanation to the issue is different. And one of the issues we were going to know more about it, what's their policy regarding energy? But, you know, so I'll be going to talk about economic issue, political issue. But if you're talking about energy as a political issue, you cannot ignore energy. You know, and energy attached to the environment. So the whole energy and environment, I call them the two E's that you cannot separate them. It's an interesting as we're really the most polluted nation in the world. Until now, we do not like to sign the Kyoto Agreement. I'm sure we have a reason. But, you know, so on that basis, the climate change related to energy, related to the consumption, what we do in our homes and our cars. So the environment is a very important issue. So you have economic, you have politics, you have an environment. One of the issues I could debate with you that the people are so excited about it and you suffer it some time from home, from your kids, the technology and that internet revolution, you can get anything you want now, good and bad on the internet. So that is also people think that this is a great regarding globalization. Then I like to talk about the culture in general, which is still a great interest among the high school students in the morning. Do we have to export our culture to our nation? how the people perceive our culture. And then definitely globalization have an ideology. No question about it. You know, that when the people talk about it, they talk about it in a different way. So I'm not going to bore you so much. You know, I'm going to put the slide that have some statistics that I spend more time than the other. But you will notice that what I'm trying to do is to get you excited to ask me more questions about, if you have all this concern, are there some solution for those concerns? One of the best questions I got in the morning, one of them asked me, said, was, after what you said, do you think globalization is something will happen, ever to have it the way we define it? And I said, if you look at my definition, maybe no, but maybe your definition would be a different definition. So as I told them in the morning, when you talk about globalization, all of you in this room, with my due respect to you, study some economics somehow. In 1776, Adam Smith was talking about globalization. He was talking about liberalization of trade and policy when he wrote The Wealth of Nations, because he will say, we should be think about the competitive advantage for different country. So if America, for example, can produce car at cheaper price, let America produce the car. And if we are in Japan producing steel at cheaper price, well, let's trade. So the concept of really liberal trade and a free trade is very old. So on that basis, globalization was a concept for many, many years. And some of you who are going to visit China or visited China, so the Silk Road and the Arabs went to China. In fact, if you go to Singapore, there's an Arab street there because the Arab went there to trade the silk. So the whole idea of globalization is all the concept, but definitely the World I and World II slowed us down a little bit. Then we have the Cold War, and then definitely started to be a very interesting issue during the Reagan administration, and definitely the fall of the Berlin Wall. So that fall of the Berlin Wall started to bring the issue back to the surface, in the sense, right now we have a free world, at least this is our definition, all this Eastern Europe country right now are toward liberalization, toward democratic system, and this is will make globalization is a reality. So it's an old concept, but, you know, so let's see now. So the first thing, I define it for you briefly, I said, free market, economic liberalization, you know, growing dominance. And I want you to see this one because, yes, some people in the Middle East, when we talk about globalization, they think we are talking about Americanization. In their mind, that we try to change things to be our way. And, you know, following the Iraqi war, this is not very much acceptable in the whole region, that you really try to influence us to follow what you like or what you have. So on that basis, you know, that global integration is the whole goal. But then I told you about those globalization is not a new phenomenon. And here is the modern, you know, this is what I want you to say, that we have three important global organizations that they have to play a very important role if we're going to achieve anything. One is the World Bank. One, the International Monetary Fund, and definitely the last one is the World Trade Organization. As all of you know, the World Trade Organization have the last meeting that was fell down was in the Middle East in a place called Doha, which is part of Qatar, and the whole agreement and whole discussion did not achieve anything because we have some problem with agreeing with the Chinese and the Indian regarding the subsidy to some agriculture products. And I'm going to explain that later if you are interested in that issue. So my feeling, as I said a couple of minutes ago, this is what Reagan and Thatcher, remember, they were in the same time together. And this is in Reagan mentality was, you know, you remember if I asked Governor, you know, Bailen yesterday, the Bush doctrine, you know, Bush followed Reagan. This is the doctrine they have that, you know, privatization, deregulation of the economy, liberalization of trade and industry, massive tax cut, exactly the same mentality. The monetarist measures, the downsizing of government, the expansion of international market, and the removal of control. So this is, it started in the 80s, and still until now, people think when we talk about globalization, this is what we exactly mean. And this is, you know, the question that the lady has to struggle with it, but this did a good job. And here what I think is the best about it. Okay, so economic development, international investment, democracy, culture enrichment, information technology, and property right. Let me just take those five and tell you, if you are a globalization person, in your mind, the globalization achieve or have five characteristics, five features. The first one is a very important one, that really what we mean by globalization is exactly the first concept in the Reagan mentality, is liberalization of trade. That, you know, we have to sell any place, we have to buy from any place, we have to have a free movement of capital and resources across the world. So that is very important, the first one. The second one, which I think is an interesting, and we, most of us will agree with it, globalization is a change, right? In a social change, in a process. And this process, it will not going to go back anymore. This is a fact of life. We have to deal with it. It's irreversible. It's here to stay. So on that basis, we better adjust to it. Three is very interesting. Globalization means democracy. Democracy. So if we will have a globalization, we'll expand the democracy. And if you expand democracy, you are improving the life of people. Number four is also a very interesting one, that, you know, if you will have a democracy, and on that basis, those democracy will be very important, because right now the people will not be the mover and the shaker. The mover and shaker will be the market. So the people will be asking for this democracy, and they would like to come and do it. And on that basis, we will be willing to look more and expand more. And the last one in this process, that in addition to democracy, by really opening this market, you'll be bringing new ideas. And if you bring new ideas, you make the people more knowledgeable. So awareness is an issue. But I want you to think now, when you try to bring awareness issue, again, how this is, could be impacted the people that you are, makes them aware of what you want them to be aware of. So those are the positive ones that you can think of. Economic development, we claim that benefit for all, the people would benefit in the poor nation. The international investment, definitely we have multinational. We invest in foreign stocks. We lend the money. We have euro dollar invested both ways. The democracy, I did so, the culture enrichment, and the technology. The property rights is a very important issue. We did not solve it, but at least we're hoping that as we will have more global market, we will protect the property right, and we will not have all this fictitious merchandise you buy from China. So on that basis, that is the positive sign. So the stages of the globalization is we create that process, we're expanding that process, we have to accelerate it and make the people aware of it. Then here is the effect in more specific one, and I'm going to speak about example in each one. The industrial one, the best example definitely is the ability to buy merchandise from different country. And I think, I did not see it, I stand to be corrected, how many Japanese cars on the roads in Alaska. But that's the best example, the impact of the automobile industry in the States. The GM and Ford and Chrysler are suffering from losses every year, and Toyota is very close to take number one position from GM. But it have impact on the industrial. The financial is definitely, we are seeing right now, the foreign direct investment is going out and coming in, so it have a financial impact. The idea behind the economic, and again, is an indication similar to the trade. The political is very important, because we're dreaming one day that if we have a globalization to the top, we will have something like United Nations, would be more efficient and be able to deal with all the issues. And I leave the judgment to the efficiency of United Nations to you. The information, definitely, that's the internet revolution, and we're so excited about that. The culture is a very good one, because, yes, you like to exchange culture, and you think that exchanging culture is great. We are the best example. We get people from different nations. We talk about our culture, but we end up melting in one community. The ecological is really very important to do that. The social is the issue of immigration. You know, guys, you are in Alaska. Maybe you are unlucky. I'm from California, as you know, and this is a very, very hot issue. Now we are building the fence, as you know. People try to go around the fence by building tunnels. You know, the immigration is a very important issue. The technical is dealing with the communication, and the legal, ethical is the whole issue of the copyright. So it have an impact. It have an impact on our lives. So we did talk about the bright side, and again, the globalization is beneficial for liberty and capitalism, despite we don't mind. Here is a Thomas Friedman that he just came with a book, by the way, this week. If you have a time, you like to read it. He changed all his tone. So those who read the first two books, The World is Flat, and in Nixon and Olive, this is a complete Lefisto, but this is what he's saying. He said this is an international system, and this has replaced the World War after the Berlin. Okay, here is, the goals, economic integration, the democratic policy, and I underline self-determination, which comes with the nation-state concept, because this is what I want you to think about it when you leave the room after my discussion. We really are talking from the two sides of our mouths, because you cannot have a complete integration and you be liquidating the identity of different culture with different political system. You know, we will not be able to transfer every country in the world to follow us. We are enjoying our democracy. And I go to Egypt, and the democracy in their minds is just to say bad things about each other. I was in India this summer, and during the time of voting on agreement between India and the state regarding the nuclear, they were having ruble in their hand. They would exchange it in their house for bribing each other to vote for the agreement. This is not democracy. That's it. Now, we do have some corruption also, but at least it's hidden. So that's, you know. So here is some fact that will make the globalization be world happy. Yes, you can see the gross world product has increased tremendously. Yes, the foreign direct investment increased tremendously. Here is one I wanted to give it to you because I'm personally not happy with it. Now, the last statistic, 2/3 of the world population have a cell phone. And people think of this as great. I am really feel so bad about that, and I have to share with you a very touchy story to my life. You know, when Egypt started to open the door for privatization because of the push by the World Bank and International Monetary Fund, there was an innovative guy, very entrepreneurial, and he started the cell phone company in Egypt, and he started to sell phones on an installment basis. And now we find everybody have a cell phone, and I'm boggling my mind when I walk by the beach at 6 o'clock in the morning and they're using the cell phone. I always say to my sister, I think the guy telling his wife, prepare the breakfast. There are no business at 6 o'clock. They're not using it like we do using it here. It's just, I think, it's bankrupted the economy. It's the best stock in the market. It's the hottest stock in the market. But families who have 4 or 5 children, they have 5 cell phones, and they cannot eat bread on the table. If this is globalization, so I'm not for globalization. Maybe I should go back to Egypt. So that's just a very important issue. Now, usually when we like to talk about success of globalization, we use this country. I'm sure all of us was fascinated watching the Olympic and watching the Parade of Nation, and we enjoy the big show that costs $40 billion. But you do remember we are very unhappy about their playing with the birth certificate of the swimmer. We were very unhappy that they did not allow protesters to stand, you know, in front of the stadium. We were not happy about their human rights. So either we're happy or not happy, but what I'm trying to say, they do have definitely improvement in the cost of living. They have a higher standard right now for the living. But if you go, you have to leave Shanghai, and you have to leave Beijing, and you have to see the rest of the China. The inequality issue in India and China is unbelievable. The rich get richer, and the poor get more poor. So on that basis, the same story with India. This is why they are having higher growth rate than we do. But you would not believe the poverty that many people have. I saw it with my eye because I did not stay in New Delhi. I just worked around to see in 12 days, 7 cities, just to have a feeling for India. And they benefit. But what they benefit, the people who were able to capitalize an open market and able to benefit from the globalization. So here is the challenges, and that's why we're going to spend more time. Okay, here's one in the top, because this is a big issue now. We did not finish the war in Afghanistan, and I'm not sure if you read the newspaper today or not. The new Pakistani government, they're not happy with what we're doing in Pakistan. So immediately, we have a problem, okay? We have a problem with this one. This middle one, what we mean, we keep saying it's not our problem to help Africa because we are helping them, but they have the corruption. So one of our excuses about the inequality issue in India or China or Egypt or Africa is the corruption in the local government, which I agree with, but we have a solution for that. I am more concerned about the one in the right-hand side, the poverty. Do you guys know that 2.6 billion people living for less than a dollar a day? It makes you feel sad. Okay, so in that basis, you have all this epidemic and the AIDS specifically, thanks for Mr. Gates and Melinda Gates, the energy issue, the water issue, and the global warming and the human rights. So those is an issue that you cannot separate from the globalization issue. If we wanted to talk about the benefit of globalization, if we want to talk about democracy and how it's very important, you cannot ignore the fact that that issues exist. And on that basis, we do have a responsibility. If we're going to say we have to breach globalization and we have to breach this country to open their market, if we are asking them to open their market and we want to sell our products in their places, we do have a responsibility towards them. So I wrote you the challenges here in a very brief. The environment is really three issues. One is the greenhouse gases, and I was very proud of you in Alaska that even with the richness of the oil you have, that I was looking through my reading, because I like doing my homework, that you're even looking at, you know, energy alternative resources, which is great. And the water, as I'm going to show you some statistics, this is the next oil. This is a big problem, deforestation. Then the socioeconomic issues of public health, the poverty and equality, the financial instability, because all of you in this room remember, as a result of globalization, what happened in 1997 in Thailand and Korea and Indonesia and in Malaysia, when we have the crisis that caused by Mr. Soros, and you cannot blame him. He's just a good capitalistic with a brain. So on that basis, but that is what happened. So on that basis, financial instability. The culture and the value is close to my heart because, as I told them in the morning, that you have to understand that we have a problem differently with the fundamental Muslims. I'm not a Muslim, most of you know here in this room. The question is, we have to understand the line of thinking in order to be able to deal with them. You're going to see slides, they are 20%, 1% of the world are Muslim now. The second growing religion, they have their problem because they do not separate between the church and the state. Our mentality in the West is completely different. But those people follow the Quran in every sense of it. We have to understand. We have to make our kids aware of those differences. We just cannot assume that most of them will bring Al-Qaeda. It's just, you know, we have to understand their concept, their principle. The migration and the brain drain, you see it, and I like to use an example. Some of you don't like it, but just the closest to your mind. You do remember when we would have the Olympic, which is almost months ago, the one who was carrying the flag was what? Well, the player who would represent the state in this game, but he's coming from Sudan. Okay? So don't worry about running. Take this one, somebody like me, you got to have a PhD here, and what he decided to stay. And how many Indians do the same thing? How many Chinese do that? So one of the things is we have to understand that we have to work with this immigration issue, that not to try to keep those people, sometimes push them to go back if we own them, and the tourism. So here is the issue that close to your heart, which I didn't think you know the number, so I thought to share it with you. 65% of the crude oil in the Middle East. And look at the country that they own the most, Saudi Arabia. Now, Saudi Arabia is a country that have no human rights. If you are a woman, you cannot drive. You don't have a license, right? If you walk in the street, you have to be veiled, walking behind the man. And this is globalization, but we are nice to them because we need their oil. Okay, so be aware of the stage. That is the inconsistent. We have Iraq, and this is the reason that people believe in the Middle East. They did not want to democratize Iraq. They went there after the oil. They don't trust anymore what we did. They don't. We have a gap in trust between the states and the people in other countries. Iran, Kuwait, and see the rest. So on that basis, this is the reason I put this, because that's close to your heart. All right? Look at Latin America. 11.5% from the total, and guess who owns most? Our friends in Venezuela, okay? The look now at Africa, okay? Libya, which you finally withdraw. Europe, Russia, right? And then China does not have so much. Look at America, and this is all of you here in Alaska, only 2.8%. So we have a problem. If you look, you know, at the oil reserve, I just want you to have this graph to laugh. So let me rush fast to show you something interesting. South Korea, zero production. Germany, zero production. Japan, zero production. Here's China. They have production, but now everybody riding car because of that globalization and enhancing the economic situation. 5 years ago, I found all the bikes in the morning. Now there are no bikes in the street, all new cars. Look at our great nation. Here's our production, our consumption. So guys, if we will not watch that, we are up for problem. So that's the energy. So I give you a call, but this is not, you know, so. Here is the one that really I wanted to give you attention. You remember that this is a very important issue, but look at the third one, the food and agriculture reported by 2025, 1.8 billion people would be living on country or region with absolute water scarcity, and 2/3 of the world population would be living under water stress condition. 1.1 billion people in developing country have inadequate access to water, and 2.6 billion don't have proper sanitation. This is the World Health Organization. 1.8 billion people have access to water sources within 1 kilometer, but not in their house or yard, use 20. And we Americans, thanks to California and Arizona and their sprinkler center, 600 liters a day. Half of the people in developing countries suffering at any given time from health problems because of the water. So the water is a very important issue. We're blessed to have some water here, but if you look at the rest of the nation, this is the next energy issue, that the water is very important, and we will have a problem around the world with the water issue. One of the things I thought interesting for you, this story here. Do you know that? Because I'm going to be blamed too. $100 billion, the water bottle industry, and 40% of them are from the top. And look at this one. 1.5 billion barrels of oil consumed every year to produce those plastic bottles. And look at the last one. In order to disaggregate that, how much? So that's the water. That's what we're doing in the state. We are spoiled, guys. Here is the risk in health. The people who are sick. And I debated this since in the morning about the third one, the tobacco industry. You go to any place in the Middle East, in Asia, and specifically somewhere in India, and you will not find any sign in the box of cigarette indicating any issue to health. So on that basis, what's happening is the tobacco company is going after the Asian market and the Middle Eastern market to sell the tobacco that we Americans are not buying, because this is the responsibility to bring shareholder profit. So on that basis, this is a very important issue for us to think about it. Then other health, that's the one I want you to tell. 2.6, I said that on my apology, 2.6 billion live less than $2 a day. 1 million people enter the 21st century cannot read. So poverty is a very important issue, and I will leave the slide for a minute to spend some time within this issue. Okay, if we really think in globalization the right way, and we like to sell our product in those nations, we have to think about elevating their cost of living. And one of the students asked me in the morning, and I'm very proud of him. He put me in a spot. He said, what do you think would be a good solution? Okay, because I was using Nestle as an example. And I came with that solution, but I loved the question. I did not think about it, but that's what I told him. And I still, the more I think it should be. Those multinational that they have investment and they're selling their good products, and those poor nations, they have a responsibility to put back part of their profit to be reinvested in those countries. And as I answer the question to the students in the morning, when I say put it back, it has to be put in education. I'm blessed to be American now, being for 40 years in America, and when I came, they taught me something I will never forget, that don't give me fish, but teach me to be a fisherman. And this is what we have to do with those African nations. We cannot just keep giving foreign aid in the picture of food. We have to give food, definitely, because we have to feed them, but we do have a responsibility to spend some more money in educating them. Because if we are educating them, we are opening their minds. And if we open their minds, they will appreciate democracy more. But now when I talk to people about Egypt, about democracy, they tell me, find me a job first. If democracy, you know, fine, I'm in a job, okay? So on that basis, in order to let the people believe in democracy and understand the value of democracy, we have to let them be able to drink water, to live a reasonable life, and have a sanitation system. So we do have a responsibility. Can anybody guess with all the foreign aid that we read about it, how much in $100 America paid in foreign aid? 16 cents in every $100. This is the foreign aid given with the best and the greatest nation on earth. 17 cents in every $100 by Canada, Australia, and Venezuela. 28 cents is given by European countries, the EU. In order to achieve what the United Nations want, which by 2015, we'd like to have half of those people elevated a little bit, because right now the level is $1.25. Each country have to put 70 cents from $100. When you think about it realistically, 70 cents in every $100, look how much you and I pay for coffee when we visit the Starbucks. It's not really much. It's not much. But this is the issue of poverty and equality is the issue that will not enable us to go forward with that globalization. If you read Friedman or whoever believe in globalization, if we will not solve the poverty inequality issue, we're going nowhere, because the resentment is increasing. And if you have a resentment among these policy, you will not be willing to be able to understand. Right now, it's good to try to help them and teach them. And that's what the World Bank is doing, try to ask them to privatize, to open border. Now, remember, when you privatize an open border and you start to bring foreign products, as I told the kids in the morning, that I was in Egypt for a project this summer, and we looked at the percentage of the Egyptian people who consume local domestic soft drinks versus Coke, Pepsi, and 7-Up. We did not look at Schweppes, so despite there. 3%. So our recommendation for the factory to produce the local, to do what? Shut the door. You're not being able to compete. So when you push those small nation to try to open doors, keep in your mind they did not have the technical skill on the resources that to make them able to compete at the level of the Western developed industrialized nation. So on that basis, we have to allow them somehow some protectionism in their level, at the low level. We have to push them to open, but you cannot open to compete. Nobody would be in any place in Africa see that this is made in America or made in Italy even, and then you compare it with made in his country in Kenya and buys a Kenyan product. Because it's definitely, you know, the mentality even. Everything's coming from the West is good because this is the way they see it. So the poverty issue. The issue that also I wanted to spend some time with it, you know, this one. The culture, okay? We are happy with our culture. We're proud of our culture, and we understand diversity, and we understand even differences. I was telling the students in high school in the morning, I was taken into bases this summer when they know I'm from California, and California is fighting to try to reverse the Supreme Court decision of the same-sex marriage. For us, it's right. We are open-minded people. We accept these things, and we can argue all the human rights, and everybody have the right to do that. We are well-educated people to accept that. But talk about now some people, whether Coptic, you know, which you mean Christian, like the Russian Orthodox, or Muslim, people that they don't understand that's open-minded yet, and we tell them this is the culture. That's what the culture you see in the TV. I told them in the morning I was, you know, in Egypt and was walking at night. Nobody was there. I said, maybe Mubarak driving? Was not Mubarak driving. The people is busy watching Young and Restless. And then they ask me, is really you are in America, you marry this one and divorce this one and you date this one? It's just the culture issue, okay? We are giving the wrong message. If we really wanted to show them about our value system, what's happening on the internet, and we exporting our movies on the internet, is not helping us to give the message. It's not helping us to give the message. So on that basis, start to be anything coming from the West right now is rejected. And right now, as I told you in the morning, we call it the news pollution. That everything coming from the West is polluted. So on that basis, they do not like that. Many right now, country, they try to block seeing this American movie and seeing all the American soap opera because it does not communicate. We have to teach them. I have to spend 2 hours telling my family, that's not America that when I lived in it for 40 years. Otherwise, I'll come back. That's not. This is movie. It's fiction. But that's what they see, one after one after one. Okay. So on that basis, we cannot export our culture. We better not. We are happy with it. But we cannot impose our culture on people. In fact, within the state, some people still like to have their culture. So on that basis, we are one nation. We still, within that nation, we have some culture. You cannot ask people to change their culture. It's not fair. And here's the one I told you, though. Christianity includes everything from Catholic to Protestant, to even, you know, Jehovah's Witness, you know, 21% Muslim, and you have to deal with them. 21%. Here's our culture number. I saw just as a joke with you and give you some number. The reason this is in Lake Ridge, Virginia, because the writer of this article was from Lake Ridge, have 104 package of bread kinds in the supermarket. Okay. The amount of advertising in the industry of the food, $3 billion. Look at the next one. The coffee types Starbucks sell 26. You can look at this, 26 kind. Okay. 197 brand of cars we drive. And 28 hours per week, our kids watch the TV. Parents wake up. We are having problems. Okay. Stiglitz, who really from Chicago, but as you know, he is more in, he worked with Clinton, so he's maybe more affected by Clinton policy. He had those concerns I sought to share with you. One, that's really the claim that everybody benefit is not true. That the second one, very important for people here, that we become more concerned about material values more than anything else. The third one, that really is not fair, because if you ask people to stop giving subsidy, why is the American government give 13 different agriculture products subsidy, so we are not fair. And the ways is not managed, we interfere in some countries' life, and then the economic system we will have, because look at China, for example, they did not completely shift democracy, and they're doing well, so you cannot, you know, it's a concern of being fair. And then on that basis, I will end this here, and I thank you so much for having me, because I know you will have a, in the morning, the best part was the question. So I'm sure we'll have a lot of questions to me, and I'd be happy to answer all of them.
You've been listening to Dr. Mark Massoud, the Robert A. Day Distinguished Professor of Accounting at Claremont McKenna College, recorded September 12, 2008, at the Alaska World Affairs Council in Anchorage, Alaska. Following his speech on globalization, what it is and what it isn't, he responded to questions from the audience. Considering the United States national debt is in the trillions, the value of the dollar is decreasing, and the current concern that we may be entering a recession, who do we put first? Do we owe others before we owe ourselves? An audience member asked.
And we owe to ourselves. I think this is, and the question came in a different way in the morning. Do we owe ourselves first, or we owe the world? And we are not selfish, but the answer is that we owe to ourselves first. You know, we have to improve our lives first. In fact, I also told them in the morning that I wish, again, you will know where I stand now, but, you know, I wish we did not spend all this billion in the Iraqi war. I wish we spend it on energy alternative resources, because since 1973, we know the Arab is dirty. We know the Arab will play a game with us, and why we waited until now to wake up and say, we're looking for alternative energy sources. Okay, we were talking about it's costly to look for, you know, wind. It's costly to look for solar. Look what happened now. I was reading in the morning, even because what happened in Houston, that the prices would be reaching $5 a gallon. Think about somebody who's driving a truck, or somebody in Alaska driving his, you know, boat to go to fish. When you pay $5 per gallon, something have to be done. Have to be done. You know, if really the best example I can think of, in 1957, all of you recall that Russia sent somebody to the moon before us. And the Kennedys started to react immediately, say, we would not allow Russia to be better than us. And we spend all this money, right? Was it worth it or not? That's a different point, but we did it. The same thing. We know that we have some problem with energy. We should spend the money. We know right now that we have to do something about this deficit, because we cannot go this way. We cannot do that. As I said earlier, are you guys happy? I remember when I came to the state early in the 70s, one of the most interesting ads, what's good for GM is good for America. Right? And Apple Buy and baseball and GM. Most of you will remember those ads, right? Where is GM now? God, this is very important. This is the culture of the country. Ford and GM, we invented that car. Look what's looking for us now. Toyota will take over GM this year. We have to do something about it. They're dumping their car. So You're completely correct. Something has to be done, and to be done fast. For that reason, I was telling Lisa yesterday, driving from the airport in Alaska, she's so much, she picked me even late, our plane was late, that I think the people in Alaska have to be very happy and excited about Governor Palin. All of us in the 50 states should be happy, but I think we have to stop debating the issue in personal matter. This country has to stand up and say, give me your economic policy to both parties, give me your health care policy, your international trade policy. You know, all the things, this is what changed the people's life, because this country to have 6.1 unemployment rate, this is a great nation and it shouldn't be allowed. Something has to be done and have to be done quickly. So on that basis, instead of saying, you know, Governor Palin tried to fire her brother-in-law or not, let's just debate the issue in a more meaningful way and say whether the team of Governor Palin would be able to deal with the country problem or not. Because I'm sure if we dig the other side, we'll find, again, cronyism somewhere and everywhere. So on that basis, stop doing those things and go to the issue. And I hope when we have the debates among the candidates, we'll debate the issues. But I love this country. But this election may be the first time in my life I maybe not go to the boot if they will not shape up and try to debate the issue. I don't want to keep talking about the goal of this one or that one or this one or why. Forget that now. How can you solve the country problem? One of them you mentioned.
Next, another audience member asked Dr. Massoud to comment on how globalization has changed education, particularly in the United States.
Just so you know, you're a great state, and I'm glad we have somebody from the Board of Education. It's education, 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 and I'm so happy to see the students. This is the name of the game, and I hope that we'll be able to influence your kids and grandkids to give some attention to the science. Because as I told them in the morning, for some reason, we go after the highlight of seeing in a movie and the TV that the lawyer doing very well, and the lawyer, you know, usually we try to make the lawyers is the great things, and then the next one after that would be the businessman, the investment banker who makes millions. So we try to glorify the industry, and we're losing ground in engineering and science. And as you remember, for a while, we were debating about those, you know, Chinese to come to be educated here, and because of our great nation, they stay. Now, many Indian and Chinese now come and take our good education, and guess what? They go back. So we have our education kids have to go. The American kids have to go science and engineering because we are behind. This is a very important field, and I'm glad I have the superintendent here because we have to try to energize them that you must study science, science, science.
AAA credit ratings indicating the debt risk of a corporation have proven to be deceiving this past year. As the credit bubble continues to leak faster and faster, with deflationary spiral growing, how do we help the companies that have essentially shot themselves in the foot? An audience member asked.
Well, you know, you have to remember, and that's what I was saying in the morning, and I keep repeating in the classroom. Definitely, our system is built on the model that if you have a corporation, they have to succeed. And on that basis, we're fighting for here the concept of profit maximization. So on that basis, the company have to think about the best way to try to please the shareholder. And you see it is happening, not only you cannot blame the company, because if you are an investor in a mutual fund or buying an own share, if the company will not do well as your expectation, what will happen? I think we have some problem that we have to address it at not even the high school level, maybe the elementary or the middle school. We have to try to teach people that long, you know, really term views, which we lost it as American. We just, right now, all what we have is short, everything is measured in short term. I need to see it right now. So the firm one, they shoot their thumb in the foot because they're looking for a short term policy. Because they are afraid if they take a long term decision, you will not be happy. And on that basis, they're losing ground. We have to change the mentality of the American people that you have to stop being short sighted. You have to be long sighted. This is what creates wealth in the long run. But look at the pension fund, the investment fund. Right now, the market, okay, the market. And also, with my due respect, I'm American, very proud American myself. We have to stop a little bit the greed, because that's what happened in the financial market now. And let's see what will happen to the loans. Today, all of you here in the morning, that the government now maybe stopped to try to save Lehman. Right now, it's just a disastrous. Okay? So maybe we have to go back and say, it should be regulation, should not be liberalization. God rest his soul, Reagan is dead now. We need more regulation.
This concludes Alaska World Affairs Council Presents with Dr. Mark Massoud, the Robert A. Day Distinguished Professor of Accounting at Claremont McKenna College in Claremont, California. He responded to questions from the audience following his speech on globalization, what it is and what it isn't. Recorded at the Alaska World Affairs Council in Anchorage, Alaska on September 12, 2008. These broadcasts are produced by KSKA Public Radio in partnership with the Alaska World Affairs Council. Visit kska.org to sign up for free podcasts of Alaska World Affairs Council Presents. You can also sign up for email updates about the show or share your comments with us and other listeners. This has been a presentation of KSKA in partnership with the Alaska World Affairs Council. For KSKA, I'm Kristen Spack. Thanks for listening.